Turn with me tonight to Genesis chapter 5. And now that you have found it, it's very easy. It's in the front of your Bible. You know, this is the least read chapter in the Word of God. And so I'm sure that none of you this morning in your devotional time, you probably didn't say, you know what, I think I'll turn to there in Genesis chapter 5 and go there and that'll be my morning devotional. I don't think you turned there for help. But you know, it's so sad that so many people do not teach this anymore and it's overlooked and it's such a wonderful chapter. You know, we're going to look at the family of Adam tonight. And, you know, Adam died at 930 years of age, just a mere child, amen? And we're not told when Eve died. That troubles me. Doesn't that trouble you? I look at it, I said, Lord, when did Eve die? I mean, listen, I don't know. Maybe she died first, but I can tell you something. Without a doubt, if she did die first, do you not know that it just crushed Adam's heart? Adam gave her name, Eve, mother of all living. Not only that, the first time that Adam saw Eve, what did he say? He said, bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. He was in love with her immediately. You know, so we look at this tonight, and the pre-flood people, they lived to great ages. I mean, the average age when we study out Genesis 5 is about 905 years of age, the average lifespan. And so there's a lot of people, they say, well, it was the reason they live so long is because of the climate or because of the food or their diet, you know, or something. I believe that they lived that long because it was God's plan. Amen? Because life and death, God knows when you're going to die and he knows how long you're going to live. So with all that being said, let's look at the family of Adam tonight, beginning in verse 1. And this is the book of the genealogy, or literally the family history of Adam. In the day that God created man, he created him in the likeness of God. He created them male and female. And look what God did. And blessed them and called them mankind. Literally called them Adam. Called them mankind in the day they were created. The wonderful plan of God. It says that he blessed them. You know, after the flood, after Noah and the ark and the flood, if you read over in Genesis chapter 9, verse 1, it says, then God blessed Noah. God is in the blessing business. You know, tonight the Bible says in Ephesians 1, 3, that if you are in Christ Jesus, you are blessed with every spiritual blessing which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? You don't need any more peace. You have all the peace you need. You don't need any more love. God has already deposited in your heart all the love he's going to give you. You're blessed tonight with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places. That's not when we get to heaven. That's here and now. Oh, how we need to appropriate that by faith and trust in the living God. And so here we've seen last week the ungodly seed, if you will, of Cain, and now the godly seed of Adam. But it's interesting, it says this is the book of the genealogy. Now, the word book is the first time it's used in the Bible is right here, and it has to do with the first Adam. But in the New Testament, it says this is the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ in Matthew 1:1. He is the last Adam. Now, before we go on, verse 1 that I just read, even though we've covered it, it's a divine reminder from our Lord tonight, okay? And man was made in the likeness or the image and the likeness of God. And remember, that has nothing to do with your body, with the way you look. It has to do with what God deposited in the body, remember? Look back with me at Genesis chapter 2 for a minute. And look at verse 7 with me. It says, and the Lord God, look what he did, he formed man. He formed man, how? Out of the dust of the ground, and look what he did. He breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. In other words, God put within man, what? A soul and a spirit. Listen, remember when God made Adam? Adam was, he was dead. He was right there on the ground. He was made out of the dust of the earth. He was in perfect health. All of his internal organs were in place. He had a perfect heart, perfect lungs, except his heart wasn't beating and his lungs were not breathing. Why? He was not alive. Only God can impart life. And he breathed into Adam. And Adam became a living soul. He had mind. He has a will and emotions. He became an eternal spirit. Man received his spirit directly from the Lord. It says this is very important because when we look at this about how God made us, since we're made in the image of God, it's very important that we treat each other the right way. I mean, how we need to love one another, take care of one another, not speak evil one to another. You know, we're made in the image and the likeness of God. And you know what the Bible in the New Testament says about a few things? Listen to these warnings. In Colossians 3:8, you might want to write these down. Colossians 3:8 through verse 10, it says, "But now you yourselves are to put off all these, anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth." And here it is, "Do not lie one to another, since you've put off the old man with his deeds and have put on the new man who is renewed in the knowledge according to the image of him who created him." It says, don't lie to one another. Did you know that lying is a national sin? If you don't believe me, just listen to some of the Democrats, okay? No, just joking. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it's like a national pastime here in our own nation. Don't lie to one another. Speak the truth to one another in love. Amen? That's what's needed. You know, there's another warning in James 3:8. It says, "But no man can tame the tongue. It's unruly, evil. It's," God says, "it's full of deadly poison." What a hard word from God. He says, man, listen, he says, "What comes out of a man's mouth is like a venomous snake seeking its prey." We don't want to be like that at all. It says, "With our tongues, we bless our God and Father, and with it, we curse men who have been made in the similitude or likeness of God." There it is again. "And out of the same mouth proceed blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so." God says, you know what? When you curse others, you're cursing me. In other words, I'm a believer. You're a believer. We're part of the body of Christ. If we start cutting one another down, who are we cutting down? We're beating up the Lord. We're cutting him down. I'll tell you something. It's a dangerous thing to do that. Did you know that all of us tonight, each of us, are guilty? Aren't you glad that the blood of Jesus has cleansed us from our sin? But you know what? Let's don't beat one another up. I tell you, we want to be careful about that because, you know, each one of us, we're all under construction. I'm still under construction. God hasn't given up on me yet. He's still correcting those things that concerns me. Amen? And the same things, that he's perfecting those things that concern you. Psalm 138, verse 8. That's where I just quoted from. So let our words build up people, not tear them down, because we are believers and we're made in the image of God and the likeness of God. Now look at verse 3 again. It says, "And Adam lived 130 years and begat a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth." So he was 130 when Seth was born. Now, I wonder if that was 130 years since the day that Adam was created. You know, I mean, we don't really know. I mean, when God created Adam, how old was Adam? He didn't create Adam as a little baby, did he? You know, it wasn't, you know, crawling along in the Garden of Eden, you know? No. So he was created man, full grown. But how old was he? So we look at this, say, well, it's 130. I don't know, but I do know this. What we know is that Seth was born when Adam was 130 years old, and he was born after the likeness of Adam. Look at that. It says, "He begot a son in his own likeness, after his own image, and he named him Seth." What does that mean? It means that Adam, whenever Seth was born, he was born in the likeness of Adam, and Adam was fallen man. And that's exactly what we're talking about. You see, when we're in the Adam's family, aren't we? Well, we've been translated out of that, thank God. But the fact of the matter is that fallen man, the reason that we're all messed up in this world today is because we came from Adam. Adam's the one that got us in trouble, Adam and Eve in the garden. That's why a person has to be born again. Jesus said in John 3:3 and John 3:7 as well, he said, "You must be born again." There's not a choice. A man has to be born again or he cannot even see the kingdom of God. And it says in verse 4, "After he begot Seth, the days of Adam were 800 years. And look, Adam had what? Sons and daughters. So all the days that Adam lived were 930 years. And what happened to him? He died. Now listen, we're not told how Adam died, but I can tell you this. Whenever he finally did die, and they witnessed a human being dying, that must have been something. Because see, death was spreading to all men. God was right. He told Adam and Eve, he said, listen, do not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, then the day that you eat of it, God says, ye shall surely die. And that's exactly what happened. It took 930 years for Adam to die, but he died. Now listen, when you think about how long Adam lived, that means that he knew Lamech, which was Noah's father. Adam nearly lived until the time of the flood. Just think, for example, when you think about being 930 years old, I mean, that's unbelievable. If a person had lived today, let's say I was 930 years old. I may look like it, but I'm not, all right? 930 years old. Now listen, and this is 2011, and if you go back 930 years, what would be the date? Well, the date would be 1081. Think about that, 1081. Think of all that Adam's seen and all that you could have seen had you lived for 930 years. It's amazing. But it says that he died. God said that you were going to die, Adam. So Adam here, when he died, physical death is a consequence of Adam's sin. That's why people die. Listen, thousands of people died yesterday all over the world. Thousands of people died today all over the world. And every second people are dying. Why? Well, because of what Adam did. Adam sinned in the garden. The Bible says in Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto man once to die, and then comes the judgment. You know, I hear people say it all the time, I'm not afraid of dying. You know, well, I tell you what, I'm a Christian. I'm not looking forward to it. Amen? But to be an unbeliever, I tell you something, to not know Jesus. It says in Hebrews 9:27, there is a calendar moment. Your name is on that calendar. It's appointed unto man one time to die, comma, then it says, then cometh the judgment. Then you have to stand before God. Aren't you glad tonight that we're in Christ? And the moment we close our eyes in death, we're going to be home with him forever and ever and ever and ever. I thank God for that tonight. But Adam here, physical death, again, is a consequence of Adam's sin. And there are people that are on the earth tonight. They're not born again, and they're not only, they're not physically dead, but they're spiritually dead. See, they go through the activities of life, and they don't possess spiritual life. Why? They're dead. They need to be born again. And there are people that say, man, I'm doing great. Everything is working out for me. But they're not aware, like it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. It says they are dead, spiritually dead, in trespasses and sins. Don't even know it. God's not in their thinking. They wake up in the morning and God's not there. They don't think about God. They don't open their Bibles. They don't think about Jesus. They don't think about church. They don't think about anything except what they're doing in the world. That's a frightening thought, isn't it? They're dead. Now listen. It says in Romans 5:12, it says, therefore, just as through one man, meaning Adam, sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all men. Why? Because all sin. So Adam's sin became our sin because he's the federal head of the human race, if you will. And so sin and death spread to all men. Now listen, we don't die because of an act of sin. I mean, you can die because of an act of sin, but we don't die because of an act of sin. We die because we are a descendant of Adam. Aren't you glad tonight that we've passed from death into life, that we'll not experience death, that Jesus came and he not only destroyed it. I mean, yes, our physical bodies, oh, we got to get rid of this junk. It's just dust, okay? It's got to return from the dust from which it's made. I don't want this body. It's made for the earth. I want the new body that's made for heaven. Oh, no pain, no sorrow, no back problems. No. You understand what I'm saying? You don't have to take pain pills in heaven, amen? You don't have to do that because there is no pain. There is no more sorrow. There is no more suffering. There's no blue Mondays, there's no bad days, there's no bad weeks. It's eternity with God forever and ever and ever. That is your future, and Jesus purchased it for the church, amen? The Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15:22, it says, for is Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. So the first two people to die in the world in the pre-flood days, first one was Cain killed Abel, so Abel. And then Adam, that was his dad. Now listen, they both went to heaven. Think about that. Abel was the first person in heaven. Think about that for a moment. He was the first one in heaven, and then his dad followed him 930 years or however it was later. And so There's Adam in heaven. There's Abel in heaven. Who was the third person that ever made it into heaven? Enoch. And Enoch didn't even die. Enoch was translated. He was caught up. He was taken. God took him and went into heaven. So heaven was populated long before hell was ever populated. Are you listening to me? Yes. Listen, now if there are no gaps in the genealogy in Genesis chapter 5, and I can't tell you, I'm just going to only go by what the Bible says, but if there's not a gap there, then what it tells us is that from creation until the flood was 1,656 years, okay? You can add it all up. You can find all that information right there in Genesis chapter 5. Now, the next verses here is like reading an obituary page, okay? And they all died, and they all died because of Adam's sin. So let me just go through this kind of quickly here. It says, Seth lived 105 years and begot Enos, and he begot Enosh, and Seth lived 807 years and had sons and daughters. Now, it's very important that you see that repetitious phrase, sons and daughters, over and over, because I'm going to go someplace with it. And so all the days of Seth were 912 years, and what did he do? He died. And Enos lived 90 years and begat Canaan. And after he begot Canaan, Enos lived 815 years, and he had what? Sons and daughters. Very important that you see that. So all the days of Enos were 905 years, and look what happened to him. He died. Now Canaan lived 70 years and begot Mahalalel. That means God be praised, by the way. And after he begot Mahalalel, Canaan lived 840 years, and he had what? Sons and daughters. Very important. So all the days of Canaan were 910 years, and he died. And Mahalalel lived 65 years and begot Jared. And after he begot Jared, Mahalalel lived 830 years, and he had sons and daughters. So all the days of Mahalalel were 895 years. He died. And then Jared lived 162 years, begot Enoch. And after he begot Enoch, Jared lived 800 years and had, there it is, sons and daughters. So all the days of Jared were 962 years, and he died. Now, we had death after death after death because God told him, you know, Adam, if you do this, this is what's going to be the result. Physical death is a consequence of his sin. Now, but then all of a sudden in the midst of all this death, God stops and he talks about a man who was translated to heaven who did not experience death. His name was Enoch. And Enoch lived 65 years and begot Methuselah. Now, the word Methuselah is a very important word in our text. It means in Hebrew, it means when he dies, judgment. Okay? When he dies, judgment. And after he begot Methuselah, look what Enoch did. Enoch walked with God 300 years, and he had what? Sons and daughters. So all the days of Enoch were 365 years, and Enoch walked with God, and he was not. Why? Well, for God took him. God translated him to heaven. Now, something happened in the life of Enoch. It says for the first 65 years, I don't know that he even walked with God. I think, personally, God spoke to him because he named his son Methuselah. He named him that when he dies, judgment. In other words, when he dies, judgment is going to come. I believe he received a prophetic word straight from the heart of God, and that's why he named him Methuselah. And not only that, after that, he walked with God for 300 years. So Enoch is the first person said in the Bible that is said to have walked with God, Noah being the second man. Only those two, you know, said that they walked with God. But Enoch also seems to be the first pre-flood prophet, okay? The reason I said that is because what he said in Jude 14, let me read it to you. It says in Jude 14, now Enoch, the seventh from Adam, prophesied about these men, also saying, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints. In other words, myriad, unlimited numbers of his saints. Now listen, this is amazing. All the way back before the flood ever came, here is a man who prophesied the second coming of Jesus Christ with his saints before the flood. That just blows me away. I mean, Enoch, like I said, he didn't see death. He was taken. The Lord took him. But what did he prophesy? Well, he prophesied, like it says there in verse 14 from where I'm reading, behold, the Lord comes with 10,000s of his saints, but then he tells us what he's coming to do. Let me finish it. It says to execute judgment. That means to declare everyone guilty. Enoch said in the days before the flood, he said, listen very carefully, the Lord is coming. He's coming to this earth. He's coming in the second coming. He's bringing his saints with him. That means the church. He didn't know that, but we know that. Amen? Now listen, it says to execute judgment, which means to declare everyone guilty, on all, which means no one is going to escape. It's going to be a universal judgment. So let me read it again. To execute judgment on all and to convict all who are ungodly among them of all their ungodly deeds, which have committed sin in an ungodly way, and of all the harsh or hard things which ungodly sinners have spoken against God. Boy, there's a day coming. Think about that for a minute. God's prophesying through Enoch there in the flood. And he said, boys, it's going to be bad. God is going to bring judgment. He didn't realize that he was speaking all the way into the church. He had no idea. He didn't even understand it. Now, Enoch is also one of the heroes of the Hall of Fame of Faith. Remember, we talked about him. It says in Hebrews 11:5, it says, by faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death. In other words, he escaped the curse of death that came through Adam, okay? And he was not found. Why? Well, because God had taken him. And before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What a blessing. I hope that God says that about us. Amen. Are you pleasing to God? The things that come out of your mouth, the things that you think about, the things that you do in this life, that your walk of faith. That's a good time to practice self-examination and look into your heart and ask you, are you pleasing to God? There's nothing better than to please the Lord. And how did Enoch please God? It says in Hebrews 11:6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to him must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. So Enoch, not only did he walk with God, man, he believed in the Lord. He trusted the Lord and he sought him out diligently. And that's what we need to do tonight. To walk with God means that you're following God. And if there's ever been a generation in the church, it needs to be this generation. You know, we look out today in America, and just look at America for a moment, and we see these gigantic mega churches. There's nothing wrong with a mega church, by the way, but we see them, you know, the 20,000 members, 30,000 members. Did you know that the population of Christians, it hasn't changed since the 80s? In other words, the church is just transferring growth. It's not adding growth. Are you listening to me? See, there's not a revival. There's not a hunger. There's the ambassadors for Christ, those who are winning souls. You know, I thank God that nearly every Sunday somebody comes to Christ around here. Amen. And we want to see the Lord move in a mighty way. I mean, we want revival in this church. I'm ready for revival. I want revival in my own heart. I mean, I just want to say, Lord, wake us up where we really hunger and thirst after righteousness, where we're really longing only for Jesus, where he really is our first love. He's not our third love or our fourth love. He's really our first love. And see, Enoch followed the Lord. And when you follow the Lord, that means you're walking with him. Mark 1:17, Jesus said, I will make you fishers of men if you follow me. You know, they followed him. It says in Matthew 16:24, it says, if any man desires to come after me, it says, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Follow me. I have never regretted following Jesus. Never. I have not one day of my life. Now, there have been some days I've questioned a lot of things in my life, believe me. But how could I ever regret following someone who died on the cross for my sins, who baptized me, filled me with the Holy Spirit, who uses me, who guides me, who leads me, who blesses me, who takes care of me, who promised he would never leave me and never forsake me, who's constantly there, who seeks only my best. He's never said one word against me. I've had plenty of people do that, but not Jesus. He's a friend of sinners and a friend of tax collectors. Amen. Doesn't mean that he partied with them. Doesn't mean that he hung out and did evil things with them. He was there, a friend of sinners means come, I want to change your life. Come to me and let me change your life. Every person that Jesus met in the Word of God, he brought a change to their life. That's what the Church of Jesus Christ needs to be doing today. Do you know that Jesus is coming? Oh, he's coming, loved one. I don't know the day but hour, but I tell you that he is coming. Now listen, when we talk about Enoch here in Genesis chapter 5, there are those that hold that Enoch could be one of the two witnesses there in Revelation chapter 11. Now, I'm not going to go into that, and there's a possibility that he might, because see, he did not experience death. He was taken up. Now, who's the other person that didn't experience death? Elijah. Remember him? In 2 Kings chapter 2, verse 11, you know, he was what? He was taken up in a whirlwind. How cool is that? How would you like to leave today in a whirlwind and go on to be with the Lord? Now, so there, we know that they're in heaven, but a lot of people believe that Moses and Elijah are the two witnesses, because Moses represents the law, Elijah represents the prophets, and they also appeared at Matthew chapter 17 at the Mount of Transfiguration when the Lord was transfigured before them. I don't know, but I'll tell you what I think, and not about the two witnesses. I believe with all of my heart that Enoch is a picture of the rapture of the church. See, he was taken. What will then build? What about Noah? Well, Noah, bless his heart. Listen, Noah is a picture of what? He's the picture of Israel going through the great tribulation period and God saving them through it. Amen? That's what I believe. I believe that with all of my heart. So the thing that we need to remember is that during that great tribulation period, what's happening? God is pouring out his wrath on whom? The world, the Christ-rejecting world, the people that don't want him. It says that men's heart will be failing them for fear, and yet, but they won't repent. They won't turn to the Lord. They're going to be begging the rocks to fall on them, and they're going to say, oh, to hide me from the one who sits upon the throne. And it says, you know what it says? But they won't repent. They know that it's God. They're a Christ-rejecting world. They don't want anything to do with the Lord. But Israel is going to be saved. Amen? That's God's timepiece. We're looking to Israel now, the things that are happening. So God's wrath is going to be poured out, and God's wrath is not going to be poured out on the church. Amen? No, that's crazy talk. Now listen, the rapture. It says in 1 Thessalonians 4:16, it says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first, then we who are alive and remain, here it is, shall be caught up, shall be snatched away, shall be raptured together with them into the clouds and meet the Lord in the air, and thus shall always be with the Lord. That could happen right tonight. Think about it. I'm talking about a reunion in the air. Amen? Would that be glorious? All of a sudden, we're just snatched out of here, and you know, all the Christians are gone. And you know what? What did Jesus tell us? He said, you better be ready. He said, watch. He said, be ready, for it is coming upon an hour that you do not expect. It's going to come suddenly upon this planet. Jesus is coming for the church, and it could happen at any minute, any moment, rather. There's no calendar time frame. There's not another event that needs to happen for the Lord to take the church out. What a glorious thought that is. Amen. You know, a lot of people have problem understanding the rapture and the second coming. You know, in the rapture, remember, Christ comes in the what? In the air. Okay, at the second coming, Christ comes where? To the earth. Remember in the Zechariah 14, where does he touch down? On the Mount of Olives. Okay, so the rapture, he comes in the air. That's us. Woo, we're gone. But in the second coming, he comes to the earth. He touches down. In the rapture, Jesus is coming for his church. He's coming for the saints. In the second coming, Christ comes with his saints. Amen? Revelation 19, 11 and following. Man, we're going to come back to this earth and we're going to come back with him. In the rapture, it takes place in just a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. But the second coming, it's after 7 long years of judgment. In the rapture has to do with the church, but the second coming mainly has to do with Israel. In the rapture, only Christians will see Jesus. But at the second coming, everyone will see Jesus. Let me read Revelation 1:7. Behold, he is coming with the clouds, and every eye will see him, even they who pierced him, and all the tribes of the earth will mourn. Oh, what a glorious day that's going to be. Aren't you glad that we're saved from the wrath to come? Boy, I thank God for that. Boy, if you're not saved from the wrath that's coming, there is a wrath coming. And I'll tell you what, there's only one way to be saved. His name is Jesus Christ. There is no other way. Well, I'm thinking about, no. You better quit thinking and you better just come on and get in the ark, amen, while there's time. Now listen, look at verse 25. I got carried away there. It says, now Methuselah lived 187 years and begot Lamech. Now, Lamech means powerful or conqueror or wild man, okay? And after he begot Lamech, Methuselah lived 782 years and had what? Sons and daughters. So all the days of Methuselah were 969 years and he died. Amazing. Remember Methuselah, his name means when he dies, judgment comes. Now listen, he lived longer than any man. 969 years. Now, if you study this out, you will find that the flood came in the very year that Methuselah died. Isn't that amazing? See, God warned man. God warned man. He said, judgment is coming. But man would not listen, and man would not even repent, not even at the preaching of Noah. It says in 1 Peter 3:20, it says, and when the divine longsuffering waited in the days of Noah while the ark was being prepared, in which a few, that is only eight people, were saved, through the water or through the ark. You know, isn't it amazing that God gives people time to repent? He gives nations time to repent. He says, just repent. I just want you to come. See, God is long-suffering. The Bible says he takes no joy in the destruction of the wicked. God says, turn to me, turn. Why would you die? Turn to me and live through the scriptures. That's what God cries out. God is so patient. And let me tell you something. We live in the age of grace right now, or what we call the age of grace. The age of grace is where God is calling out to everyone, all mankind, and he's saying, repent of your sins, trust in Christ, and come to me while there's time. Because there's going to be a day when the grace is over and the door is shut, just like God shut the door on Noah and he sealed up the ark, and that's it. It's over with. But God is so long-suffering. Do you know that he doesn't want anyone to perish? Not anyone. You know, I'll tell you what. Turn with me in your Bible. Hold your place, though. Turn with me, 2 Peter, and look at chapter 3 with me for a second. Let's look at the long-suffering of the Lord for a minute, the patience of God. It says in verse 3, 2 Peter 3:3, knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lust and saying, oh, where's the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were. Now watch this. From the beginning of creation. There's nothing that's changed. God's not coming. It's just another storybook, a fairy tale. And look what God says. For this they willingly forget, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of water and in the water, by which the world that then existed, what happened to it? Perished. How? Being flooded with water, just like God said it would. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, right this moment, they're now preserved by the same word, by the word of God, are reserved for what? Fire. Until the day of judgment and perdition, or literally, and destruction of ungodly men. Now look at verse 8. But, beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. Verse 9, there it is. The Lord is not slack now concerning his promise, as some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing. God is not willing that any should perish. God doesn't want anyone to perish. Do you hear me? No one. He says, God's not willing that any should perish, but that all should what? Come to repentance. In other words, repent and come to the Lord so your sins are forgiven, so your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. God is so patient. Even on a person's deathbed, he is still prodding and still nibbling at the heart saying, come to me, trust to me. There's no one like God. There's no one as patient as God. There's no one as long-suffering as God. And he says, but the day of the Lord is going to come. It certainly is, folks. And it's going to come how? As a thief in the night. And the heavens will pass away with a great noise. And the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Thank God it goes on and says, but nevertheless, we look for a new heavens and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness. Amen. Oh, God is so good. He has a plan. Listen, Christian, we know what's going to happen at the end of the world. We know how it's going to happen. We know the future of planet Earth. You know, people are all the time saying, you know, the polar ice caps are going to melt and there's going to, the fish are all going to die. And, you know, the salt. Well, maybe that happens. Okay. I don't know. But you know what the Lord says? He says, the seasons are going to continue until I come back. Amen. So I don't know. I just trust God's word over these scientists, don't you? I mean, if we melt and the polar bear doesn't have a home anymore, I'm sorry. I mean, that breaks my heart, you know. I'm looking for Jesus. I'm looking for him. I'm keeping my eye on him. Now, it says there in verse 28, we have to hurry. It says in verse 28 that Lamech lived 182 years, had a son, called his name Comfort. Or rest, called his name Noah, saying, oh, this one, boy, he will what? Will comfort us concerning our work, the toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord has cursed. In other words, oh, Lamech says, oh, this boy Noah, I can't wait. He's coming. He's going to be born. He's going to be the Genesis 3:15 baby. He's going to be the one that's going to fulfill the promise of God. He's going to be our deliverer. He's going to be our redeemer. No, I'm sorry, Lamech, he's not. In matter of fact, no one would even believe Noah. No one. Could you imagine preaching the gospel for 120 years and not one person gets saved? Hello. That's exactly what happened. It says, and after he begot Noah, Lamech lived 595 years, and look what he had, sons and daughters. So all the days of Lamech were 777 years. He died, and Noah was 500 years old, and Noah beget Shem, Ham, and Japheth. Now listen very carefully. Noah is now 500 years of age, okay? In 100 years, the flood is coming. 100 years. How do I know that? Because Genesis 7:6 tells us that on the 600th year of Noah's life, the flood came, okay? Now, listen very carefully. We know who went into the ark, and did you notice, if you've read ahead, that Noah didn't have any grandchildren? Amen? He had what? It says he had sons. Now listen to me. Out of everyone that was listed in these 10 generations, I believe it's 10 that I just covered, 10 generations, did you notice that each of them had sons and daughters? Did you notice that? Did you notice that Noah did not have any daughters? That's very important. It's very important that you see this, and I'll tell you why. Because this is connected to Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 4, okay? Let's just look at the first two verses, because this right here tells us how Noah's family line remained uncorrupted. He didn't have any daughters, okay? Now watch. And it came to pass when the men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born to him, that the sons of God saw the daughters of men, and they were beautiful, and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. Don't miss next Wednesday night as we find out who these sons of God really are. And then we'll see how everything was corrupted. Now, folks, listen, let me say something to you before I quit tonight. Genesis chapter 5 to me is a great little chapter. I know it has a lot of information. We skip over it, but listen to me. You know, when I read stuff like that, it's like a motion picture in my mind sometimes. And I was thinking about Adam. Here Adam lived for 930 years, and it says he died. Adam was 622 years of age when Methuselah was born, okay? Adam nearly lived all the way until the flood time, okay? Not quite, but not quite. Now listen. Can you imagine the incredible advantage people had by Adam being alive? He was the first man ever made. Think about it. He was Adam. Can you imagine? I mean, he lived for 930 years. Can you imagine? Hey, I need to just go talk to Adam for a little bit. No, listen. You understand? He was there. I mean, you pull up to his house and say, hey, Adam, Eve, can I have dinner with you tonight? I want to ask you a couple of questions. Now, God created you, right? Oh, yeah, he created me. I lived in the Garden of Eden. I can tell you all about it. I named all the animals. You know what I'm saying? Think about that. He said, listen, I can tell you about the serpent. I can tell you how he deceived my wife. I can tell you how my heart was breaking. And whenever she gave me the fruit that I wasn't supposed to eat, and I looked at her and my heart was breaking because I love her. And I just, yes, I disobeyed God. Yes, I am the reason people die now because of my sin. Yes, I was kicked out of the Garden of Eden because of sin. I disobeyed God. I can tell you all about how to worship God. I can tell you all about God. I talked with him face to face. He walked with me in the cool of the day. I can tell you about the first sacrifice when God killed two animals and then poured the blood out and then covered Eve and I with a tunic, a garment. I can tell you all about the first sacrifice. I can tell you how to really worship God. Can you imagine the advantage that the human race had while Adam was still alive? That's what was going on. And here is what's so sad when we get into the chapter next week is that mankind didn't care. They didn't want anything to do with it. They didn't believe and they didn't want to worship God. The ungodly line of Cain, they were not worshipers of God. Only the line of Adam, Seth, that's when men began to call upon the name of the Lord. It's the same thing today. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth him should not perish, but have eternal life. And then the next verse in John 3:16-17 says this, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved through him. You'd think that the world that we live in would have gone crazy. A Savior has come to be saved, and he's going to save us. But you know what the Bible says? It says, John goes on and says, he says, he who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already because he's not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is condemnation, that light, meaning Jesus Christ, he has come into the world, here it is, and men loved darkness. Love darkness rather than light. So they wouldn't come to the light because their deeds would be exposed. That is the world that we live in right now. That was the world that Adam lived in before the flood. And that is the world that Noah preached to. They did not want anything to do with God. And loved one, I tell you that we are living in a time when man wants nothing to do with God. You would think that if you said, listen, here's the deal, eternal life, you're going to live forever and ever and ever and ever. All of your sin, all of your shame, all of your crummy addictions, all of the filth of your life, all of the guilt and everything is going to be wiped away. You'll be cleansed. God says, I'll give you a brand new heart. I'll make you a brand new creation. I'm going to write your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. And you know what? When you die, you're going to come and be with me for all eternity. Or here's one. You can be ruled and mastered all of your life by the devil. You can let him control your marriage, control your heart, control your mind, but you won't even know it that it's him. You're spiritually dead. You'll go through this life thinking you have life, but you don't have life. And then the devil who will keep you deceived, who mentally blinds the minds of men who and women who do not know the Lord, he says he'll keep you blinded long enough to where you close your eyes in death, and it's too late. And when that happens, you go off into a Christless eternity, a place that Jesus said is outer darkness, a place that's called weeping and gnashing of teeth, a place that's called hell. Now, I don't think it's very difficult to figure out which one you need. Amen. I think I would run to Jesus with all of my heart.